Proverbs chapter 4 continues the topic of wisdom as we've been looking at for the last few weeks there. And let me read a few verses, and that'll kind of give you an idea of where we are. Proverbs 4, beginning at verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. And that's just the first part of verse 7, and so we'll go back up now as we look at this now. In verse 1, it says, hear the words of a father. He doesn't say, hear the words of a psychologist or a therapist or a scientist, but he says, hear the words, the instruction of a father there. And God has placed that responsibility and that accountability on the fathers to be the teachers. Doesn't mean that the mothers don't, but it means that the father is placed there as the head responsibility of teaching there. And so he says, hear, children, the instruction of a father. And so he's concerned about the mind, and he's also concerned about the heart, because the instruction is going to come into the mind. But we know in the Bible the mind and the heart are so intertwined anyway. And so he says in verse 2, I give you good doctrine. And that's what a good father would do, give good doctrine. Now there are some fathers that are not so good, and they give bad doctrine, whether it's with their words or with their lives. And the fact that we have doctrine qualified here with the statement good implies that there is some bad doctrine out there. The word doctrine we know means teaching. And so he says, as a father, I'm going to give you instruction. I'm going to give you doctrine. I'm going to give you teaching that's good. He says, forsake not my law. And the word of God is known as the law. And so here's a father doing some teaching, and he is going to use the law to do it. What about education that doesn't have the law, God's law? Think about education in America. Since the Bible has been removed from it, what good is education without God's word? Education without God. Well, it might have some temporal values to it. I mean, there are some things that people learn that they can be good citizens. But we're not living for the temporal. We're living for the eternal things. And so knowledge that doesn't involve the eternal word and the eternal God is of no eternal value. And so for our public school system to take God and the Bible out of education, they have removed the value that's in learning. And so here he says, children, hear the instruction of a father who loves his children, who's going to give them good doctrine, who's going to teach them the word of God. He's going to teach them something that's good for eternity there. And you've heard the slogan before, you know, whether it applies to our school or Christian colleges, we don't just teach students, you know, how to make a living. We teach them how to live because they can make a living all the way up until they die. But in eternity, they're going to continue to live as believers, and so we want to have some eternal lessons involved. So verse 3, he says, I was my father's son. And of course, this is Solomon there, and so his father was, of course, David. And so David has given Solomon some instructions. Now we know Solomon didn't get his wisdom from David. He got his wisdom from God. He asked, God asked Solomon what he wanted, and he wanted wisdom. But in verse 3, he says, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also. His father taught him. And so it's very likely that when Solomon was asked by God, what one thing would you desire that I give you? Why did he come up with wisdom? It's very possible that the reason he knew that he needed wisdom was because his father, David, taught him that. And so God gave it to him, and God promised it to us. But had his father not taught him that, he wouldn't have known what he needed there. And that's what's involved in teaching, is it? The students oftentimes, they don't know what they need. And that's why it's up to us to teach them what they need. Not necessarily what they want, but what they need there. And that's what God's word does for us. So he says in verse 4, he, my father, he taught me. It was his responsibility. The father can delegate that. But David taught him, and he said to me in verse 4, let thine heart retain my words. Let your heart keep my words there. And how do you retain things? When you hear words, how do you retain them? Do you retain things as well as you used to? I don't. But how do we retain things that we hear? Or do we retain them? You have Siri to help you, don't you? Well, the best way is repetition, isn't it? Just continue it over and over until you have it. And so here he says, let your heart retain my words. And so the constant reminders. Sometimes we have an expression when people memorize something, they use the term, I know it by heart. You ever heard that expression, whether somebody's memorizing a piano piece or something, I know it by heart. Well, it's not heart like we think of the heart, but as I said, heart and mind are so entwined together. And so here he says, let your heart continue to repeat my words. Meditate on them. Hold them over again in your mind and retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Now, verse 5, he says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And so that's how we forget. That's when we don't retain the words, is whenever we decline from hearing them. And so it's good for us to hear things over and over and over again. And the more that we hear things, the more we can remember. Some of you, if you look on Facebook at anything, or maybe some other, you've seen this sign that I saw recently. It says something about, I can remember the lyrics of the songs from the 60s or 70s, but I can't remember why I came into the kitchen. Did you see this? Well, yeah, we can remember those things because they went in our minds over and over and over again. And of course, music is a good, helpful reminder as well. And so here he says, get wisdom, verse 5. Get understanding. And this is discernment. Having understanding there. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand people. We joke oftentimes about husbands not being able to understand our wives. I say, you're not supposed to understand me, just love me, you know. But understand, it's nice to be understood too. And so here he says, get wisdom, get understanding there. Try to understand not just the information, but understand how other people see things. Understand their feelings there. That is wisdom. He says, don't decline from it in verse 5. Then, in starting in verse 6, he gives 5 results of wisdom. You'll see them as we go through verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Look at these 5 results. He says, forsake her not. Her is the wisdom. For she shall preserve thee. That's the first of the five results. Wisdom will preserve you. Have you ever heard it said of someone, of a woman or a man, that she is well preserved or he is well preserved? That means that, they look pretty good for their age there. And so here, that's what wisdom does for us. It preserves us. The second thing it does, in verse 6, it says, she shall keep thee. And the word keep has to do with guarding or protecting us. And so whenever we have wisdom, it keeps us from making foolish choices. I had to deal with a student today who had made a foolish choice in taking someone else's drink at lunchtime and drinking it. And I had to deal with him and talk to him about, stealing there. And his question was to me after school, after he'd gotten to me, came back. He says, what can I do not to get these demerits? I said, it's too late for that. You should have thought about that before you made your decision. Well, wisdom keeps us from doing those kinds of things. So he says, get wisdom, don't forget it, don't decline from it, and it'll do five things. It will preserve you, verse 6. It will keep you, it will protect you from making foolish decisions. Verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Principal means first. First in order, first in time, first in priority. Wisdom. We need wisdom. And that's why God was so pleased with Solomon when he asked for wisdom. Because God knew, of course, that that was the principal thing. That's what we need, wisdom. It is the principal thing, verse 7. It says, therefore, get it. And with thy getting, get understanding as well. And so here we are told, you need to get wisdom. So how do we get it? We get it from God, don't we? God gives us wisdom through his word. And the more we read God's word, and we don't decline from it as we saw, and we retain it, we keep repeating it in our minds over and over again, God will give us that wisdom which will preserve us, it will keep us. And verse 8, the third thing, it says, exalt her and she shall promote thee. The Hebrew word promote means go places. The places you'll go. Does that sound familiar? Dr. Seuss there. Well, God says, all the places you'll go if you have wisdom. God's wisdom will preserve you. God's wisdom will protect you. God's wisdom will take you places that foolishness won't take you. It goes the opposite. The fourth thing, not only does God's wisdom preserve and keep and promote, but also honor in verse 8. It says, she shall promote thee, she shall bring thee to honor when thou shalt embrace her there. And so you take wisdom and you just hold on to wisdom. Keep wisdom and keep being reminded over and over from God's word, because if we don't, not only will we not have these five wonderful things, we'll fall, as we'll see as we get a little bit farther in the passage. And the fifth thing that wisdom will do, preserve you and keep you, promote you, and honor you and give you a crown. Verse 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. And you see an understanding of that word when it talks about an ornament of grace. So the crown it's talking about is a crown of beauty, pleasantness. And that's what the Lord gives to us whenever we go after wisdom and we retain wisdom and we seek wisdom, and the Lord uses it to preserve our lives, and he gives us a pleasant life, a life that is an ornament of grace whenever we pursue wisdom. Now, verse 10, he says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. Is there a difference and hearing the sayings, and hearing and receiving the sayings. And we know that there is. And so he's not being redundant here when he says, hear and receive my sayings there. And we can tell somebody the right words. We can teach them good doctrine, as a father should do to his son. But if they don't receive it, then they're not going to have a life that is preserved and promoted and pleasant and with honor. So it's important that we not only hear, but we receive the sayings. And verse 10 says, and the years of thy life shall be many there. And so when a person has years of making wise choices, it shows itself in a long life there. And so when we continue to make wrong choice after wrong choice after wrong choice, it can really hurt us. Have you known people, and probably you have, people who have lived pretty rough lives that have been involved in drugs and alcohol and just wickedness, and you've seen their lives physically just deteriorate there. And so we all have known people like that, and sin affects us negatively. Well, wisdom affects us positively as well. There are many benefits. So in verse 11, he says, I have taught thee. And of course, along with the teaching, that's the one end of it. The other end of it is hearing and receiving. So verse 11 says, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths there. And the word taught has to do with the verbal aspect of it. And it doesn't say, I taught you. Notice that other helping verb in here. It says, I have taught you. That means that it wasn't just, I didn't just tell you so one time. I have taught you. I've told you, and I told you again. I repeated it, and I repeated it, because that's how we remember things. That's how we retain those things. And he says, I have. I've told you. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. You know, and that's what we're supposed to do. But not just telling. Notice the rest of the verse 11. I have taught thee, using words, in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And so the teaching, if it's going to be effective, it cannot be only words, even 1,000 times. There has to be the leading. And the leading implies that the one who is teaching, the father in this particular case, he's also walking that way himself. Otherwise, he's going to be walking one path and saying, do as I say, not as I do. You've heard that before. But that's not what God says. You know, God says through Paul, he says, you follow me as I follow Christ. And I'll not only teach you the way, I will lead you in the way as well. And that's what good doctrine is. We saw it earlier. Good doctrine is doctrine that is right in belief, but also it's doctrine that is practiced and shows people how to live it as well there. You probably heard the phrase before when people pray or say, ask God to lead, guide, and direct. And that's what he does. He leads us as a person would lead a horse. You know, you grab the horse by the reins, you can walk in front of him and you can lead him. Or you can guide the horse by sitting up on him and pull the reins. Or if you really have a horse like Zorro had and the Lone Ranger had, you can direct them and just tell them where to go and they'll go, you know. And that's even better than leading and guiding. And that's what wisdom does. As we teach people and remind them over and over, we lead, we guide, and then we direct. And the more spiritual we become, the more we are hearing that still small voice, and we're walking in the way that God tells us to, and we don't need the pulling of the reins or the nudging of the reins, but just the words that we hear are enough to direct us in the paths of righteousness there. Now, verse 12, he says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened there. That is, in a strait. You know what it means to be in a strait? We sometimes say he's caught between a rock and a hard place. And so here he says in verse 12, whenever you're going, if you hear instruction, verse 10, and receive it, whenever you're going, your steps won't be straightened. You won't be caught between a rock and a hard place if you learn to listen to good doctrine and follow good doctrine. And not only will you not be straightened in your steps, verse 12 goes on to say, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. You won't stagger and faint and fall. And sometimes people do that spiritually. And the reason that believers stagger and fall spiritually is because they stop hearing words of instruction and receiving the words of instruction. So in my Bible, I have an arrow drawn from verse 10 to verse 12. Hear and receive, and you won't be straightened, and you won't stumble. As long as we hear and receive God's word, He's going to hold us up. We have a rock on which to stand that we won't fall whenever we listen to our Heavenly Father give us instructions. He's given us the words over and over again. He has led us in the right way. Footsteps of Jesus, we sing. We follow in His steps as well. Now, verse 13. He says, take fast hold of instruction. Grab onto it there. And this word instruction is a word that is closely tied to discipline. And it has to do with learning from the negative aspects of discipline and teaching there. And hopefully we do. We learn from those things so we don't have to go through that discipline process once again. Fools will reject instruction, the Bible says, but wise people will hear it. They will learn from the discipline that comes. So we need to hold fast here to instruction. Now we know from a theological standpoint, we don't hold fast to our salvation. God holds us. We are held by His grace. But here He's talking about the instruction that God gives. He says, hold on to it. Don't let it go. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Who is she? It's personification of wisdom. Wisdom is our life. Hold your place there and go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. It doesn't say when Christ, who gives us life, shall appear. Now, it's true that He gives us life, but verse 4 also tells us that He is our life. So now go back to Proverbs chapter 4 again. In verse 13, it says, for she, wisdom, is thy life. And Colossians 3:4 says that Christ is our life. And Christ is the wisdom of God embodied in flesh there. And so He taught us the right way, and He led us the right way that we should go so that we could have the wonderful results of wisdom. Now in verses 14 and 15, we'll look at those two and we'll end our study with those two. In those two verses, He tells us six times, I mean these are short verses, but six times He tells us to avoid the way of foolishness. He says, enter not, that's the first one. Then He says, go not, in verse 14. Then verse 15, He says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. Six times. He's just repeating Himself. And what did we say is the best way to remember something? To repeat it over and over again. Well, He does that six times in these two short verses there. In verse 14, It's called the path of the wicked. He says, don't enter into the path of the wicked. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Don't enter. That is, don't even begin to go that way, because it traps you. Then the next one, he says, go not in. So first of all, he says, don't enter. Don't open the door and put your foot in. Because once you enter, then it says, go not. That word means to advance forward. Once you enter that path, it's hard to turn around and go back. That's why it's so important that we teach our kids the right way. Because if they fall into the wrong crowd, you know, once they start going that way, it's hard to pull them back there. So he says, don't enter and go not from it. And then in verse 15, he says, avoid it there. That means to loose or to unbind yourself from that way. Pass not by it. Don't go along with them. He says, turn from it. If you're going to turn from it, you have to go in a totally different direction. And so the one direction binds a person to what's wrong. But whenever we obey the words of Scripture, when we use wisdom in our choices, we can avoid it and pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. Not pass away like dying. Actually, that's the same Hebrew word in that same verse. It says, pass not by it. He's repeating himself. He says, don't go along with the foolish, with those who make unwise choices, but rather live according to wisdom. And whenever we do, it promotes us and it preserves us, it protects us, and God's word will continue to crown us with righteousness when we make wise choices there. And we find wisdom in the word of God, for Christ is our life. And the word of God says that in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And so the wisdom, which is Christ, is also the word of God. And that's where we get our wisdom. So when James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, he'll give it to him, and he will. And he does it through the word of God. That is the vehicle through which he gives us the wisdom that we ask him for. Let's pray.